Back for the final hour of Sports 180. Thank you for being with us today. Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Heather, exciting opportunity again to begin hour number three.
Absolutely. You just heard the sounder for the national keyword, and that national keyword is change, C-H-A-N-G-E. I need a little pocket change, and you could do that by texting change to 95819. So that is change to 95819. That's the national keyword, so we can put a little pocket change in your pocket. I like it.
That's right. Keep listening for more opportunities as we are here for the start of the final hour. Quick note when it comes to sports and money. Those two can come together at times, Heather, right? I know you're big into NBA Top Shot. A LeBron James dunk sold for nearly $400,000 at auction this week, a record for the newly popular NFTs. It's an NBA Top Shot moment with James throwing down a dunk and doing so to honor, at that time, the late Kobe Bryant. It sold for nearly $400,000, the NBA Top Shot moment.
When I hear things like this, it kind of reminds me of being out on the lake and you're passing all these beautiful homes and one thought enters your mind. What do all these people do? Who is buying this for $400,000? Like, who are these people? What do they do for a living? Because I want to get in on that. I want to send you my resume so that I could afford a $400,000 NFT, which might be worth nothing in a short amount of time.
Well, I exaggerated a little bit. Actually, specifically, or to be exact, it sold for only $387,600.
Oh, you rounded up. Yeah.
I did, yeah.
This is a little oversight there. I still have the exact same feelings. What do these people do for a living?
Right. So we have that. We have Tennessee Vanderbilt going on this weekend in baseball, and that'll be really exciting. Let's see how it plays out. But I know Tennessee's players will be fired up, and Vanderbilt will be very excited to try to bounce back from an ugly weekend. Their two losses were blowout losses against Georgia last week. So Vanderbilt coming to town. We talked to Chris Lee an hour ago about the series, and he was high on both teams and talked about the potential for both Vanderbilt and Tennessee to go to the College World Series, and there are other teams in the SEC that could do that as well. But a lot of attention on a couple of top five teams this weekend, Vandy and Tennessee.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely unbelievable. Cannot wait. I'm on a wait list to get tickets. With only 25% capacity, those tickets are like gold right now. So if anybody
and
wants
I think
to
they're
back
up to
out,
50 now, up to 50%.
Are capacity. They up to 50% now? Mm-hmm. Okay, so 50% capacity. Would definitely love to be in the stadium this week, and I think the weather is going to be incredible. And this atmosphere that Tony Vitello and this Tennessee baseball team has been able to create, I think it's just going to be special, and it's going to be elevated some. So if you thought it was like hot and heavy when Paul Maneri was, you know, freaking out at LSU, with LSU versus the Vols earlier this season, can you see some people maybe get under Tim Corbin's skin or a couple of the Vanderbilt guys? I don't know, but I want to see it firsthand, as Lindsey Nelson Stadium has definitely become a rowdy and kind of feisty environment. So I just think when you're talking about Vanderbilt, one of the best teams, a couple times national champions, coming in and you're able to go toe-to-toe. It's not like you got to get lucky. Like, Tennessee doesn't have to get lucky to win. They can actually go toe-to-toe, and if they're better, at any given point in the game, then they can win the game, you know. So I just think that that adds an element to Lindsey Nelson Stadium also that we maybe haven't felt very frequently over the past several years.
Yeah, I'm really excited and glad to see Tennessee baseball playing at a high level and for it to matter, because when it does matter in terms of where you stand among the competition, because I think fans get really excited about it and it gives fans something to follow, because you kind of go through the basketball season. You go through each stage, right? Football, and then football season's over, so you get more into basketball. Basketball season's over, so you get more into baseball or whatever sport you might be interested in, baseball in this case right here. And I think a lot of times by this point, over the last 10, 12 years, Tennessee fans might check out what's going on with baseball and be like, oh, you know. So you check in here over the last few weeks and you see this team's really good and they have personality and I mean, how about the praise that Tony Vitello received from Chris Leave? Just how good he is. Terrific recruiter. It all goes together, but terrific recruiter, and has just brought a winning mindset and, of course, winning results to Tennessee baseball. And that's something for fans to get behind. So they haven't had that much recently until the last few years with Tony Vitello. And I thought it would work out with Dave Serrano, and he did everything he could to be successful. He just wasn't. But it's really worked out with Tony Vitello. That was a terrific hire. That was a hire made by John Curran at the time. You know, I'm not sure too many people. I mean, you have to really follow the sport probably to know who Tony Vitello was. But
yeah,
now people know who he is.
And I've seen also other people talk about like the ability of Tony Vitello to build, because Arkansas also didn't just fall off the map when he left as an assistant because he had brought in such great pieces. So I think it starts with the recruiting for Tony Vitello, and then it goes from there with coaching up the different positions and things like that. I think John Wilkerson has talked about that multiple times, and that this is one opportunity, one other opportunity for me to beat that drum. Give this man whatever he wants. Let's meet some off-season demands for Tony Vitello, because this is actually exciting to be relevant in baseball, especially coming off the disappointing basketball season. I mean, Tennessee fans just want to be proud of a team, and right now they are really proud of this baseball team. So, and if that just keeps continuing through the season, and if Tennessee was to make it not only to the SEC tournament but possibly even the World Series, I mean, you would just have people feel some sort of validation that football and basketball did not deliver this year.
So Tennessee baseball definitely under the spotlight locally and nationally with a couple of top five teams. The Vols at home against Vandy. John Fulkerson returning to Tennessee for a sixth season, our main headline of the day. So you have Jonas Adu and then Brandon Huntley Hatfield announcing that they are going to attend Tennessee, and John Fulkerson announcing that he is returning to Tennessee. Good news there. And in the college football world, I think one of the top stories that will develop over the next 6 weeks or so, June 1st, the Division I Council has approved a recruiting calendar returning back to normal. So get ready for a lot of activity with visits, commitments, offers perhaps being pulled. Brent Hubbs with some good thoughts on that. Go back and listen on Sports Talk yesterday afternoon. There's just going to be a lot of action this summer as we get back to normalcy in the recruiting world.
If you're listening to this and if you just heard what Josh said and you're also in college, it means a lot of good party opportunities, because when those recruits come in, there's always a magical party that pops up out of nowhere. So it's like college life is back. Recruits are going to be on campus. People are going to be wanting to show them a good time so that they get the
whole
vibe of
the place. I'm not sure college kids need recruits coming to campus, though, for a reason to party. I think they can come up with if the day ends in Y, they'll probably find a reason to do it.
That's a good point. But, you know, it might have been a little subdued during COVID, and now everybody's going to be really excited. They want to help their football team out too, Josh. They want to help their football team out.
Yeah, subdued at times. I do recall a story of Donnie Plowman knocking on a door one morning after.
Oh, so, my gosh. I still
there's a few activities.
Chancellor Plowman coming on the show. She was like, well, the mama bear in me, I just saw what looked to be like the remains of a party the night before, and I just wanted to get to the bottom of it. So she knocked on the door. I just love that. That was my favorite part of the story.
Hey, I still like a good party, too. And then 9:30 rolls around. It's time to call it an evening. We got to get going the next day.
Yeah, that's why we have to start the party like right when we get off the air. I mean, no, it doesn't start later than 4 o'clock if you want me to show up.
No,
that's for sure.
No doubt. A couple other notes for you. Anthony Davis cleared for full contact practice, and his return to the Lakers should be happening soon. He'll be on a minutes restriction, but the Lakers have been playing out without Anthony Davis for quite some time, and LeBron James as well. I think maybe by the end of the month they're hoping to have LeBron back, but AD should be back soon. He's now practicing with the Lakers, was getting some work in. I don't know if they've had a streak in any way since then. It's win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. They lost to the Celtics last night, but that Western Conference up for grabs with the Suns playing really well and the Nuggets losing Jamal Murray. And then NFL win totals from William Hill. The Chiefs with the top number at 12. The defending Super Bowl champs, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, at 11.5. Remember, this is with a 17-game schedule, not 16 in the NFL.
Yes, so an extra game, and that's why you see some teams with a curious win total, I would say. I still, going back to the Patriots and the Dolphins. earlier, both of those teams with projected 9 wins. I would love to believe in Tua and those guys, but I think history has taught me that give the edge to Bill Belichick. So that's kind of what I did when I went with the Dolphins for maybe this team is a little too high right now. And then your too high team was the Seattle Seahawks, correct?
A little concerned. Still a little concerned, yeah. Partly because
what
the division is so competitive.
The division is extremely competitive. 3 teams with double-digit win totals in the NFC West. The Rams with 10.5, Seattle 10, 49ers 10. What is the tension level like? I mean, all we hear about in the NFL is these guys know it's a business, but you also, I have a hard time believing you can totally be a team leader and flirt with leaving the offseason before your upcoming season.
So what's the tension level?
Yeah, like, is there any animosity there? I mean, you know, like,
question.
What is
the
vibe?
I mean, there's a reason Russell said, hey, I'd be cool playing somewhere else. You know, you don't say that if you're 100% happy with the current situation.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. And then not only that, but if I'm ex-receiver or ex-defensive player, like, man, you're supposed to be our leader. And you were trying to bounce. I feel like you lose.
Oh,
a little,
you mean within the locker room?
Friend.
No,
yeah, within
I think other
room.
Players recognize why he might be unhappy. Yeah, that'd be
okay.
My guess.
Okay. Well, then they're better than me because I would be a little. I think I would be a little sour on it. Even understanding this is a business, he's got to do what's best for him and his family. I totally get that, but you, it is different when you're the quarterback, you know, and you're supposed to be the face of the team. Well, you were trying to be the face of another team in the offseason.
As long as you're not doing anything to undermine, like Houston, if James Harden had handled his exit more professionally, I don't think the players would have had any issue with it. I think it's the way he handled the exit. So,
yeah.
And if we find out that Russell's not giving his all while he's there, that's when they'll have an issue. But in the offseason, saying, I want to be somewhere else, you know, a lot of those guys might be as well. So I think it's about how you do it. Not just wanting to go somewhere else, because if he comes back and he's 100% committed and he's playing the same way, then I don't think they're going to say that. Well, 6 months ago he mentioned that he might want to leave. I don't think they have that. They're the guys that are real pros, they'll understand.
Okay. Like I said, I'm only an outsider looking in, and you know me, I'm emotional. I hold grudges.
Yeah, very
it's
much
my
so.
Big vice yep. in life. So that's the angle
Kobe,
that I was
Kobe
taking
demanded
on
a
it.
Trade in LA. Lakers fans okay with him?
Yeah, Lakers fans are cool with Kobe.
Yeah. we'll come
cool
back here
him.
On Sports 180 with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. Corey Vereen, I think, with some really interesting perspective from his time playing at Tennessee. Our Call of All segment, a segment of that coming up next with Sports 180 today at Walk-Ons with the Michelob Ultra Golf Giveaway on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports 180 continues with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg along with us as well with 40 minutes to go, and then Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock. With today's show set up at Walk-Ons, Heather has the word for you. All you have to do is stop by, text it in, and you'll have a chance to win the Michelob Ultra Golf Giveaway. Heather, huge prize with the Better Than a Birdie giveaway.
Yes, so that's thanks to our partners at Eagle Distributing, Michelob Ultra, and Edwin Watts Golf. Your chance to win a golf bag and custom set of TaylorMade Sim 2 golf clubs valued at $2,000. Maybe you're somebody like me. I've always said, oh, it's just too expensive for me to get started in golf because I got to buy clubs, I got to take a couple of lessons. I mean, we're knocking out half the hurdles right here with the Better Than a Birdie giveaway. So chance for that golf bag and custom set of TaylorMade Sim 2 golf clubs valued at $2,000. Stop by, get the super secret word, and enjoy some awesome lunch. I mean, the meals are great here at Walk-On Sports Bistro. I went with a salad, the Cypress Cobb salad. Check out the lemon butter chicken. It is to die for. One of the starters, according to Bad Take Andy, that you should definitely have the boudin balls. That sounds wonderful. Tons of hamburgers, sandwiches, po' boys. So it's a little Louisiana flavor right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And you got to check out Vegas. Whenever Vegas Bergens is in, he's the GM here. You talk about everybody's going to have a good time. He's got a huge smile on his face, even behind the mask. You know how you can tell some people are smiling even when they're wearing a mask? You can tell that, like, Vegas is that way. So you're definitely going to know you're in for a good time here at Walk-Ons.
We had a good time yesterday talking to Corey Vereen, the former Tennessee defensive end, played from 2013 through 16, and just offered really good perspective. So thought we'd bring you part of the Call of All segment we had yesterday, and it starts with Corey talking about how on the field, his nickname is Mean Vereen. Off the field, nicest guy, he'll tell you, in the world. Here's Corey Vereen talking about kind of flipping that switch on the field and off the field.
Man, I tell you what, I'm one of the nice people I know. Sometimes I'm too nice, as my wife tells me, so I got to break that habit. But on the field, oh, yeah, I was ruthless. I really believe that you only have a certain amount of time on this earth. And if you're blessed enough to have the ability to play, because a lot of people love football, but they can't actually play. They're not built for it, or they got hurt. So I was actually able to play and sustain an actual career. So I took advantage of it, and I said, man, every time I'm on this field, I'm going to go 100% as hard as I possibly can until I have nothing left. And then when I have nothing left, I'm going to give some more. So and that's that mindset that we had at UT, especially when I first got there, like guys like Derek Barnett, Jalen Reesmaven, Joshua Dobbs, we all had a mindset moving forward, and that's why you saw such a change in what you saw on the field.
There was a great picture as I was trying to tag you on Instagram for all of our listeners to see. The picture I didn't choose was you running off the field with Butch Jones completely red-faced, just screaming at you. It's really close. It's like high at the top on a Google search, so everybody can check that out. But having that attitude and playing for somebody that was as motivating as Butch was in his own way,
right,
that was probably complimentary for you.
For sure. People have their own opinions about Butch. I'll tell you one thing about Butch. He was a hard worker, and he was determined to make sure that Tennessee football changed. That change you saw on the field from 2013 to 14, where it was no bowl games to bowl games, there was a lot of work people didn't see. And then from 14 to 15, there was a lot of work people didn't see. And then the final year, we were beating Florida and Georgia, and we should have went the distance, but we didn't, unfortunately. There's a lot of changes you didn't see behind closed doors that people were working day in, day out, all night, thinking, how can we do? We're right there. We're at the cusp. How do we get over that hump? I got to give him his credit for that, definitely. Funny story about that picture, though. So the game before that, I actually got my first sack. We played Georgia. I think it was like number 5 at the time or something like that. So I was a freshman. So I got my first sack. So I was going crazy. But you guys remember, I had a whole personal foul at the end of the game that kind of cost us the game, along with some other things, but it definitely didn't help. So he kind of took the bullet for me on that one. So the next game, we played South Carolina. I got sacked that game, too. I kind of went too close to Connor Shaw. If you remember, he was a quarterback at the time for South Carolina. So they had Jadeveon Clowney and some other guys. But I went too close to him. They called another flag. I think I didn't deserve it, but that's another story. And, well, you saw the picture. So he apologized for it afterwards. He was just like, man, I just don't want you getting in trouble because that's 2 games in a row. We won't want no suspension or anything like that.
Yeah, when you're on camp, you're a freshman, you're learning the speed of the SEC. What's that learning process like for a young player on the field?
Ooh, it was crazy. Because I'll tell you what, when I went to the NFL, I saw the speed of everyone moving. It was easier because you're in the NFL, quote unquote, but Amari Cooper in college is Amari Cooper in the NFL, right? He's been running the 4.4. He's been doing the same stuff. So you're seeing a lot of the same guys. But it's kind of the same speed, if not a little bit faster, as you would see in college. But college, coming from high school, I felt like I was in slow motion for the entire year, if you want me to be honest. I really didn't feel like I got my real deal groove until my sophomore year when we played Ole Miss. I think I had a second half, but that's when I really got my groove. But I felt like I was in slow motion. Like the sacks I got were by the skin of my teeth, and I was like, Jesus Christ, this is hard. but thank God it got easier, and eventually I was able to get multiple in the season. So, you know, that was nice.
Corey, I wanted to go back really quick to your comments on Butch Jones and just get your opinion of what happened that final year and why you think, being an insider, that things just went south and Butch couldn't right the ship.
I'll tell you this. It was a couple of things. Number one, I think people overlook this a lot. We lost our defensive coordinator. So the guy who had been there and put together this defense that the previous year that held Alabama to 19 points at home with 5 or 6 sacks, that went to everybody learning a new system. He's coming from Penn State. People weren't used to it, and we're having difficulties communicating. You know how Neyland Stadium is. It's loud. So if you are trying to learn a new playbook in a spring and then you're going to camp and this is supposed to be down pat, quote unquote, that's not feasible. And anyone can tell you that if you've had a defense in for 3 years, once you change that to last year, it's going to be some pitfalls. So that hurt us. Number two, another thing people overlook, we had a plethora of injuries. I think when the season ended, the only people who from start to finish played every game was me and Derek Barnett. Everyone else had been hurt at least one game or had been out indefinitely. Our two interior guys, the three techniques and one technique, were out. He couldn't control that. There was nothing you can do about that. So we were really just trying to put a band-aid on everything. But we had guys playing positions that they hadn't played. Their technique wasn't crisp. And, whoa, when you're playing Alabama, your technique's not crisp. You can do the math on that one. So there's a lot of things he couldn't control. And I also say amongst the team, there's some selfish things going on as well. We had guys with egos. There's a lot of things going on that people really didn't see or didn't know about. Especially in the public eye. So it was just a lot of things he couldn't control, honestly. I'm not going to lie to you. At the end of the day, he can do whatever he wants to do, but we got to play the game. Butch Jones is playing out one snap of football. Last time I checked, he didn't kick the ball. He didn't run the ball. At the end of the day, it's up to us to get the job done, and we did not do that. So that's what I attribute. Honestly, I feel like I could have done more. You know, I had a productive 7-sack season, but I won 9 or 10, so – you know, if you want to point the finger at somebody, especially the player, yeah, 3 more point right back at you, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we're talking to Corey Verena. I think you had a strength coach change in the middle of that last offseason for you there between 15 and 16 as well. Could you tell that those changes and, of course, the injuries along the way, that was going to be difficult to overcome? How did you try to manage that, especially being a senior in 2016 in the middle of it all?
Now, I'll be real with you. The strength coaching changes, I think, benefited us, actually. People saw a lot of people get hurt on the surface, but up until 2015, we had that because we were doing things the wrong way, if you ask me. We had some issues where guys were putting on too much weight on the bar that they couldn't handle themselves. And when you're doing that, also personal training people as well. So when you put weight on a squat rack, let's say, for example, and you can't actually lift it yourself and you're using a lot of help, all that pressure that you should be controlling is going directly to your joints. So it's going to your knees, ankles, shoulders, what elbow, what have you. So you would see a lot of guys injure themselves. Oh, he had a torn labrum. Oh, he had a meniscus. Oh, he had a knee. It's all from improper training. So I felt like personally when we started training a little bit better and things that made sense, because we still ran a lot. The running didn't change. The grind didn't change. We were just doing things a smarter way. I felt that benefited us personally.
Corey Vereen, VFL, during our Call of All segment yesterday. Go check out the entire interview in the podcast section of the app, Apple Podcasts. But interesting thoughts there on the changes, some negative, some that he actually thought were good. I had not heard the strength coach changes, maybe something that was needed, but they had those injuries in 16, and that's often forgotten. You know, this is not to make an excuse of how the season went, Heather, but often I think that Tennessee's roster in 2016 is talked about in fantasy land, that people have forgotten who was actually on the field versus who was on the roster.
Yeah, and who was on the field as the season went on. I think you're absolutely right.
And that's not to say Tennessee should have lost to Vanderbilt or should have lost to South Carolina. I don't mean that. But just here's an example. I often hear about how could they have those issues with Jalen Reeves-Maven and Cam Sutton, and Jalen Reeves-Maven wasn't playing, and Cam Sutton was not playing for much of the season, came back at the end, and Darren Kirkland Jr. was injured. So Corey is right to bring that up. There were a number of issues, but the strength coach change, Corey actually saw that as something that was needed that offseason.
Yeah, and as a personal trainer right now, along with his day job, somebody that really knows a lot about functional lifting and things like that. So I really respected his opinion on that because I also had not heard of that as being maybe a positive. I had kind of put it in the negative column, like, oh, you're changing things up, and maybe that was the wrong direction. Just knowing as an outsider what we saw happen. So I love getting the insiders. It's why everybody from that team, I always ask them, like, what do you think happened? What do you think went wrong? What's your perspective? Because they were the ones in the building on a day-to-day basis, and they can tell us, you know, the most accurately what did in fact occur.
We'll continue here on Sports 180, but two Call of All conversations we enjoyed this week. Corey Vereen yesterday and Corte Sat back on Monday, both available on demand. We'll come back here with a little less than 30 minutes to go. Sports 180 at walk-ons today with the Michelob Ultra Golf Giveaway on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us today. Heather, another special day celebrating Bill Belichick's birthday.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So, in light of that information, Get Up this morning wanted to provide us with an extra pop-up fact for the day. Listen to this. This absolutely blew my mind. Bill Belichick's record as a head coach of the Patriots is so far over 500. He could lose every single game from now until the middle of the 2029 season and still have a winning record.
Pretty good. 280 and 136 is the record for Bill Belichick as a head coach.
That is just insane that you could lose that many games until 2029. That's factoring in one more opportunity every single season. It probably was over two. It was probably into 2030 until they added the 17th game.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Yeah, if you look at New England, it's even better, of course, because the record I just gave includes Cleveland. In New England, 244-92, a 726 winning percentage. Pretty good for the birthday boy, Bill Belichick.
Yeah, not too shabby. And you want to give him Jimmy G for his birthday. I love that gift. I think that's really nice. I think the 49ers have the opportunity to maybe draft a quarterback that they really want. And that would let Jimmy G kind of hang out there and figure out what the best landing spot for him could be. I'd like your birthday gift for Bill Belichick. I think that would be awesome. He wanted it.
Yeah, could be a good backup to Cam Newton as well. Also, happy birthday to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Martin Lawrence, Akon, Chance the Rapper, and John Cryer celebrating birthdays today.
All right. It's a good birthday day. And
it is a very good birthday day.
This week, we've had a lot of like major milestones this week on like this day in history. Yeah, I mean, because we had the MJ retiring, Jackie Robinson Day obviously was earlier this week in Major League Baseball. So I feel like we've had a
lot of
just...
Tiger's most recent Masters, which is, of course, just 2 years ago. Yeah.
Yep. So, a lot of interesting things happened this week in history. So I wonder if that means we're due for something historic to happen this weekend. Maybe with your Bravos Cubs.
Maybe so, as they're at the end of one, Cubs and Braves scoreless between a couple of teams combined 10 and 15 to start the season. Feels like an NLCS preview. Let's get a call here on Sports 180. Joel, I'm sorry, who's our caller on the line? Jason, you're on Sports 180. Thanks for calling in. You had some thoughts on Tennessee Vanderbilt this weekend.
Sure. Some of the historic, I like to say, how about a baseball sweep against Vanderbilt? That'd be fantastic.
Ooh, but, I like
you
it.
Know, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I like the Braves too, but right now I take Tennessee over them, sure. But I don't live in Tennessee, and so I actually don't know how all these regulations and stuff as far as crowd sizes and everything that's going on. I'd read is two different things at the Vanderbilt. It's going to be 50 or 75% capacity for the game.
50 was my understanding.
Okay. Who sets those regulations? It's a state university. Can the governor, can he sign some executive order where he can allow that since it is a state university? Or will the legislator have to pass that?
They're following local health guidelines.
Yeah, they're following what's been laid down locally.
But could the governor overrule that since it is a state university? I don't know. It's just crazy.
I don't think that's going to be on his radar to do for a baseball game. Yeah, I don't think he's going to.
Yeah, I think he just has bigger fish to fry.
I know. One or two of the top teams in the country. You saw Mississippi State doing it, and I think some of the Texas schools. And man, I don't know. Let's build the seeds of. You feeling safe? Stay at home. You know, definitely a lot better situation because of the vaccine than we were last year. But I don't go too off a tangent. I just want to see full house. Anyway, go Vols.
All right, Jason. Good to hear from you. I would love to see as many fans be there as possible, but I don't think this one's going to pop up on Bill Lee's radar as a main priority to change the baseball attendance based on health guidelines. I would also, and again, I want to see as many fans there. If 75% versus 50% is going to be the difference in whether they can win or not, I don't see that happening. So hopefully we'll be back to full capacity soon. I do bet by the fall we'll see Neyland Stadium. at that.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying they're going to be full. I'm saying allowed full capacity.
I was going to say, I was like, it might be like for the first game just because you didn't get to partake in it last year. But Josh Heupel, those guys, they're gonna have to put on a show to keep that bad boy full. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Show the people what they missed.
I'm very excited for this series. Let's not get ahead of ourselves on where it stands in the Raider. We'll come back. Final segment, Power Poll, what to watch this upcoming weekend, and then we'll get you to Sports Talk at 3 o'clock with today's show at Walk-Ons with the Michelob Ultra Golf Giveaway on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Final segment to Sports 180. Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock. Heather, it's been a fun afternoon, beautiful day here in East Tennessee as you've been hanging out at Walk-On Sports Bistro. Cool spot there on Kingston Pike across from West Town Mall with the Michelob Ultra Golf Giveaway.
Yes, you can still come by for like 8 more minutes and text the super secret word to 68255 for your chance to win a golf bag, custom set of TaylorMade Sim 2 golf clubs. This is valued at $2,000. Met Tim with a T a few minutes ago, and he got registered. So good luck to Tim, and thanks to him for coming by and everybody else that was able to stop by. And if you're looking for a new date night spot, if you're looking for a new spot to catch a great sporting event, maybe you couldn't get those tickets to Lindsey Nelson Stadium, so you want to watch on TV. They have so many TVs in here, Josh. I'm going to go around and try to count them, but I'm going to guesstimate like 25 TVs in here. I mean, it is incredible. So beautiful. The menu is fantastic. Sandwiches, po' boys, hand-pattied burgers, an amazing amount of seafood, voodoo shrimp and grits, Mardi Gras mahi-mahi. That sounds amazing. Different pastas and bistro specials. So many different things to try here at Walk-On's, the Sports Bistro. And if you're lucky enough to get Sierra, you talk about top-notch service. She was just an absolute delight today. So shouts to her, too, as our experience has just been wonderful here at Walk-On's.
Big thanks to them, Michelob Ultra, Eagle Distributing, and Edwin Watts Golf for helping make today's Better Than a Birdie giveaway happen. Michelob Ultra Golf Giveaway. As we get ready for Sports Talk in just a few minutes, John Wilkerson joins us. John, good afternoon. Any plans for this weekend?
Oh, man. Not a whole lot going on. What about with you guys?
Yes, yeah, same.
Just nothing to really talk about.
Yeah, big gulps, eh?
Yeah, well, see you later. It's kind of a... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, we've got a lot to get into. We're very excited with the baseball coming up this weekend and Sports Talk. So before we dive right in and hand things over, why don't we hit today's Power Poll? Alrighty, John, would you like to lead us off? It is a Friday. We hand out 5 things to watch this upcoming weekend.
Why, sure. Honorable mention, I am, let's see. I thought I had this taken care of. Give me one quick second. We can come back to the honorable mention. At number 5, I will go with the Ice Bears. Since they are home, it's the final Saturday night game of the regular season, so they've got Wiener Dog Races Part 2. At number 4, NASCAR as it heads to Richmond. I'm going to split number 3 between the Clippers against the Sixers and Utah against the Lakers. Number 2, Dodgers Padres. And number 1, Tennessee Vanderbilt.
Oh, that's right. That's this weekend. I'll bet you'll be at those games there, John.
That's right, I will be.
Heather Harrington, your top 5 things to watch this upcoming weekend.
I think he's sitting next to Bill Lee, but I don't know that for sure, so it's just speculation. All right, my number 5 looks like this. Sunday, 1 o'clock, maybe you put the kids down for a nap, post-church, Pelicans-Knicks. I heard Ryan Russillo earlier this week say Zion Williamson is the most fun thing to watch right now in the NBA, so watch it. And the Knicks are actually pretty good, so it might be a really good game. So that's coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock. Number 4 is going to be the Clippers and 76ers tonight. Number 3 is the Dodgers and Padres. Number 2, I'm still all in on golf. I mean, this is a heavy, heavy field at the RBC. I also might have a little money on a couple of golfers. Thank you, Daniel Berger. Keep hitting them straight. So that's going to be number 2. And number 1, Vols Vandy. Let's do it. Go Vols.
Any Zalatoris love? I like the cut of his jib. He's back in action this weekend.
I wish I could have. FanDuel hasn't fared me well lately. My picks, okay. I should say. FanDuel is wonderful. It's my picks that are terrible. So I was working with a small bankroll. I had to go with my guarantees.
Okay, fair enough. Honorable mentions for me, what to watch this weekend. Final regular season action for the FCS in football. Jimmy Johnson in the IndyCar. Jimmy Johnson,
the
rookie.
How about it?
Yeah, let's see if he can do anything behind the wheel. And then also honorable mention, not the Chicago Bulls against the Grizzlies. No thank you after losing to the Magic the other night. Zach LaVine now out. A lot of fun. Number five, big soccer weekend across the pond or MLS getting started up. I have racing at Richmond, number four. 76ers Clippers tonight, that's number three for me. Big baseball series out west, as you both mentioned, the Dodgers and the Padres. And then Tennessee Vandy, college baseball under the spotlight. That's your Drake's Coffee Cake Big Boy of the Weekend, and it'll be a lot of fun. We'll have the coverage for you right here on the Sports Animal.